In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Members of Living Word, family, friends, acquaintances, those who have traveled some time to be here this day, to her children, to her sister, but chiefly to you, Bill. Grace and peace be yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Death is hard. Some deaths are more difficult than others, but it's always hard. We're extremely grateful to our Lord that he did not allow Charlene to languish in agony and suffering. He was merciful to her. But we still miss her. She was sharp. She was competent. But perhaps above all, she was devoted to her friends and to her family. She never missed out on an opportunity to encourage someone, perhaps just with the simple, "I'm so happy that you're here." She was selfless, and yet not a pushover. She dedicated her life to serving others, and many of you reaped the benefits, and your stories could go on at far greater detail than anything I could ever hope to do. She had such a lovely demeanor, for she was genuinely concerned about other people and cared about them. She knew whom God had made her, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a worker, and a friend, a voice for the voiceless. So we do well to imitate her. It's easy for us to become so self-centered that we become the star of our own story. And we forget that God has placed us here so that we might serve other people. Our life is not about us and what we would like to get out of it, but our life is about what we can give to others. Charlene was a shining example of that devotion, recognizing where God had placed her and seeking to fulfill it at every turn. We can become lazy. We like things to be about us. We like to be offended at others. We want to be served, not to serve. And we can also become very lazy as Christians. We have the knowledge. We even have a church. But we attend maybe Christmas and Easter and a few other times as well. That would not describe Charlene. She was dedicated to hearing and to praying. She listened to sermons, the same one, multiple times, just in case she had missed something the first time around. Daily scripture readings, daily prayers, daily meditations on the Word of God, weekly church attendance, and then even those in-the-way midweek services, wherever the Word of God was proclaimed, there was Charlene, devoted. Devoted to the Word of God, each moment met with great joy and eagerness as yet another opportunity to hear of the love that God has for her. And you reaped the benefits. She had such a lovely disposition, completely selfless and humble, and that was only deepened by her faith. Day after day, she was filled with Christ through his word and through his supper, so naturally she engaged in Christ-like behavior, for Christ lived through her for the good of others. The word of God does not return to him empty. It accomplishes his purpose. It changes hearts. It conforms us to be like Christ. She was not baptized as an infant, but later on in life. There's really no reason why she should ever have become a Christian. No reason at all. Other than the fact that God loved her. She once said to me, "Pastor, you don't know what it's like to not have Jesus." And she's right, I don't. But she did. And she was not going to let go of him for anything. Her love for him far outweighed her love for her family, and you know how much she loved her family. Because she knew this day would come. And as much as she loved her family, as devoted as she was to them, she knew that they would not be able to help her in this moment, and yet Jesus could. They could only walk her to the gates of heaven. They could not pass through with her. They must remain here. But Christ has seen her through. Christ has remained with her. Had she remained without Jesus, she would have still been kind and loving and selfless and helpful in every way. She would have still had a lovely memorial service in some nondescript funeral home focused on a celebration of her life while we try to ignore the present reality of death. But she knew the purpose of Christianity was not to make her a nice person. She knew the purpose of Christianity was to save her. That is why she was devoted to the Word of God and why we must also be devoted to God's Word. Yes, we remember her life, all the great things that she had done for us, individually unique, sincere, and genuine. We thank God for all that he has done through her for us. But we don't have to ignore the reality of this painful separation. We face it head on. Because we are not alone. We face it with Christ, with the one who boldly declares, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Death is complicated. Even when it's a relief that an individual no longer suffers, it still is hard. We miss them deeply. We're without her companionship, her insights, her delicious food. We're without her encouragements and her love. It will get a little easier in the days ahead, but we never completely get over it. How could we? For her life was so intertwined with ours for how many years? I suppose one might say that Christmas is a terrible time to have a funeral. That this is supposed to be a season of peace and hope and joy, and death seems to just ruin it. But I would actually submit it's the perfect time for a funeral. All of a sudden, we're forced into the reality of Christmas, not the Christmas we want, but the Christmas that God wants. All of a sudden, we are weak and helpless because we are staring death right in the face, and there is nothing we can do to change this reality, nothing at all. How easily we get sidetracked. How easily we get sidetracked this time of year and forget what Christmas is. It is easy to celebrate Christmas with only trees and gifts and family and friends and, of course, a little charity as we are able, and perhaps we will attend a service if we feel like it. But this funeral seems to dampen that Christmas spirit. But again, I would submit to you that it actually heightens our Christmas joy. For what happens when the music stops and the trees and lights come down? What happens when the gifts are returned, as they often are, or exchanged for something else? When the parties are over and everyone has to go back to that same routine of daily life? What are we left with? Simply a memory? That we had a good time a while ago? Do we really only have the past? Were we really created only to live in the past with fond memories? Were we not created for something more, something deeper, something more grand, something more lasting than simply a few thoughts that bounce around in our minds? Were we not created for life? And trees and lights and presents and family and even memories cannot give us that. Until we see a baby lying in a manger. He was born so that we might have something to say at funerals. He was born so that we don't have to live in the past, but we might face this present reality head on, confident of the future that is coming. He was born to weave his story into your story, to meld your history with his history. His death rendered death powerless. And he rose on the third day to guarantee that what he had accomplished is true. If Jesus is still dead, then we are completely wasting our time today. But if Jesus is alive, as the women saw him, and as the apostles saw him, and then wrote it down so that we might know, And as the 500 saw him, all at the same time, and as Peter and Paul saw him, multiple occasions, if Jesus truly is alive, then we have a hope. Not a hope that she lives on in a memory or in a heart. That is nothing more than our memories. But a deep and a lasting hope that because Christ lives, she also lives. She is not dead, but she is sleeping. She is with our Lord. She is not gone, but she is with him. A hope that he will return to wake the dead. A hope that the body will live in heaven. A hope that is not a wish, but a hope that is a certainty that Christ is the resurrection and he will come back and she will live and we will be together once more before the throne of God and the Lamb. That is why we celebrate Christmas. We cannot stop death, but a baby can. Because that baby is not simply a great teacher. That baby is God of God, light of light, true God of true God, the one who created the world, the stars, and those distant galaxies, how many billions of light years away? He is a child, so that we might have something to say in this moment. To touch that flesh of that child, of that man who died and rose, is to touch the flesh of a living God. A God who now dwells inside of those who have faith. That is why Charlene was so devoted to the Word of God. She believed that Jesus alone could give her eternal life. Her faith wasn't just a knowledge of the Bible and the history of Christmas, but her faith was a living and an active faith that hungered for Christ again and again and again in the Word and in the sacrament. Because in Charlene's words, isn't God so wonderful? And her faith is not disappointed. What brings us sorrow has brought her peace. What fills us with tears has filled her with joy. What is very hard for us to do has brought her comfort. She knew Christianity was not chiefly about her being a nice person, though certainly she was that. But she knew it was about salvation, that she would not have to die alone. Her beloved family was standing there right with her. But again, they could only usher her to those gates of heaven. They could not pass on with her, at least not yet. But there was Christ in that hospital room with her, not in some metaphorical way or spiritual presence, but in a real presence. Taking her hand and leading her through death and into life itself. He was born to save her, and he has accomplished what he was set out to do. Now she sees him face to face. Now she stands on the other side of this altar, singing praises to the Lamb. Now she stands with the saints triumphant, men, women, and children of every tribe, language, and nation, praising God and the Lamb. Why is she there? Again, not because she was such a wonderful lady, but because Jesus was born for her. Jesus died for her. Jesus rose for her. Jesus loved her and baptized her and fulfilled that baptismal promise to her in the way that he knows is right. Death hasn't diminished our Christmas joy, but it has purified it. Because it brings into focus not trees or gifts or presents, not gatherings even, or even memories, but it brings into focus a child. Charlene is not gone. She is with him. She is not dead, but she only sleeps. And she believed it. He loved her. He saved her. And now she lives it. The child was born to give her heaven, and he wants to give you the same. Only he can give you a truly Merry Christmas. Only he can bring you from death to life. Only he can save you so that you too might enter heaven. So let us imitate Charlene and devote ourselves to Christ and to his word so that we might live with him now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.